This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. And of course, we're looking at Dr. Fauci and others. We're going to be looking at Dave Hodges here in a few moments. But of course, we're sort of lambasting and kind of going over, are you giving up your constitutional rights? That's really what it comes down to. And we say, don't give them up. Please don't. These tin pot dictators that you find in your local governments that have all this power and all this authority, they're going to take away your rights over your health, right? That's what they say. And, of course, the numbers are so bogus, and they have been so bogus. This is something I don't think that people totally understand is the bogus nature of these numbers. And if you've had some advanced statistics, you don't even need that, actually. Just arithmetic will tell you that the true numbers that we're seeing, whatever, how you can discern what the true numbers are, because they've done such a fabulous job of hiding and disguising all the things that have gone on. So anyway, we're going to be discussing that and much, much more with Dave Hodges, who's with us right now, the Common Sense Show. And Dave, it's a crazy world. It's getting crazier. People giving up their civil rights or the constitutional rights all over the place for an invisible virus that can't talk about a hoax and a spoof on the population. Never seen this before, and I guess it's the new world order after all.
Well, and we've taken it hook, line, and sinker, but in the words of James Abrams, who was forced to give his blood in the name of the coronavirus test, it don't work like that, bro. It don't work like that. And you know what? If I can track this guy down, I'm going to help him sponsor a GoFundMe, and we're going to sue the hell out of the Dallas Police Department, Parkland Hospital. Parkland Hospital, how interesting is that?
Well, just amazing what a little Parkland Hospital will do for you, right?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. This guy, This guy, I don't know if you've seen the video. It's been now reposted on YouTube this morning for the fourth time. They keep taking it down. It's hilarious. But this guy, they came in with police all gowned up and had their face masks. And they said, yeah, we're taking this, man. We're taking this. Get on the bed. No, no, no. I want a lawyer. Am I under arrest? No. Okay, then I want to leave. No. I want a lawyer. No. I've never seen, I mean, what are we in East Germany? Now these are the Stasi showing up in people's hospital rooms.
Apparently. I mean, let's ask George Soros.
Well, I got to tell you, I talked to Richard Mack, Sheriff Richard Mack, the right. iconic figure who went to the Supreme Court and defeated the Brady Bill pretty much on his own. Some people dovetailed on his lawsuit at the end, but he did this on his own. And he and I talked yesterday in an interview, and Richard said to me, he said, I'm giving these guys until April 30th, and then I'm declaring civil disobedience. And he trained sheriffs and law enforcement agents. So I think his organization is, what was that, CSPOA.org. Mm-hmm. And he trains law enforcement. And he told me, he said, there's a move right now to rise up. You know, did you hear about the father playing T-ball in the park by themselves with a six-year-old daughter, and the cops came and handcuffed him in front of his daughter?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. A guy in Chicago, he wrote to me and said, I was shooting baskets by myself in the park, and I got a ticket for $1,000, and I was 200 feet from my home. And then another guy contacted me, two guys, and they said, yeah, we were lifting weights in our front yard when the cops showed up. And then here where I live, you know, I live actually north of the Phoenix metro area, but in the Phoenix metro area in the Southeast Valley, this guy who trains football players, you know, and he's a weightlifting coach for a high school football team.
Right.
He was having the kids come over one at a time, social distance, total sanitation, and the cops showed up and said, you do that again, you're going to jail. And then, of course, where my son works out, they had a deal where the owner went in. The gym is completely shut down. The owner goes in. He's sanitizing his equipment. No one's in there. First set of cops, oh, you're okay. Next cop comes in, you're going to jail if you don't leave right now. His own property.
Yeah, and this has all got to stop. You have some police officers that were trained up during the Obama era, as you know, the COPS programs and stuff like that. It was the attempt by the Obama administration to come up with a national police force and homogenize, basically, the policing agencies from sheriffs to city police to, you know, to state marshals to the whole shebang in every state. So everybody would be on the same page. That's where the term our federal partners, our county partners, everybody's a partner. Because we're all singing the same tune, all doing the same thing at the same time. That was really what they were talking about. And, of course, that's what they were trying to get to. As you remember, it was in the later stages of the Obama administration. They actually took that whole notion and hopped on board with the United Nations and said, oh, yeah, we are one of those participating nations in a worldwide police force. And, of course, that's where many people are confused in law enforcement. They think that the worldwide influence is much more important than our constitutional rights, and that is absolutely not true.
No, it's not true. There was Tucker Carlson reported on this, and the guy's name jumped out of my head, and I went and examined all the things he said, and he was an official with the World Health Organization, and he said, well, all we've done is, in America is to move quarantining and isolation from the streets to the homes to keep the kids safe. We need to go in and grab the kids. And I'm going to go on the record right here and say this nonviolent Christian is telling you right now, UN, World Health Organization, you cross into my house, I'm treating you as a deadly felon, and I will act with extreme prejudice. And when I was talking to Sheriff Mack again, he kind of echoed that sentiment. Can you believe the nerve of this guy saying he's going to come get our kids?
Yeah, that's the way they think. I mean, and you know, talk about CPS. You know, you have many states in their jurisdictions with child protective services. They actually steal children. You know, we've got, out here, that's terrible. In many county locations, especially those most advanced, like Santa Cruz County, They steal children, the CPS does. They just steal the children from their parents, and you know, for the minor, the most minor of things. And I, you know, I used to see this as a superintendent, as a school administrator, and go, wait a minute. So that, you know, we would never call CPS in most circumstances other than the most extreme, because we realized they were playing for the other team. They were putting these children up for sale in the foster care, you know, system. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing. Of course, now we know all about what happens with the child pedophile rings and things like that, and how connected many CPSs have been in the past to that. That's a little bit of dirty water going on there. But, you know, if you think that CPS is there to be your helpful friend, if you're anywhere, think again.
Last summer, two state senators, one in Arkansas, one in Oklahoma, murdered for investigating CPS.
Right.
And we even had a politician here in Phoenix who accused a fellow legislator in the state Senate of threatening him with his life, and she was the head of the committee that oversaw CPS. They have, here in Arizona, I believe we have somewhere around 550 missing kids. I mean, when these kids don't show up for breakfast, did anyone think to call the police? In Oklahoma, I did a story about 5 years ago where they had 73 missing kids in a month. And then, of course, Nancy Schaefer, former Georgia state senator, and I should say the late Nancy Schaefer, was looking into this, making YouTube videos, going on the lecture circuit, when her husband murdered her and then shot himself in the back in a murder-suicide.
Right, in the back he did.
In the back.
Anyway, stay with us. We got Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. You can hear him on Red State Talk Radio, and he can fill you in on the blanks and the others, too. He's got a great programming and YouTube going on. We're going to be talking about, well, you know, what is Fauci and the crew up to these days in the One World Order, folks? So stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
To the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. Death. Defense Enabling Assisting Framework protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops
pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's a Romp Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Dave Hodges of the Dave Hodges Common Sense Show. And Dave, give us a little plug about how we can get a hold of you and the Common Sense Show and where you're playing your show.
Well, we have the website, thecommonsenseshow.com. And as you mentioned earlier in that first segment, we are on Red State Talk Radio, Global Star Radio Network, KYAH Radio. It's our flagship station, and our biggest presence is on YouTube, where we have just a small amount of people cross our path every month. We're almost getting about 3 million now. And so we're trying to get the word out, but I'm telling you, we're losing. We're getting our butts kicked. America's rolled over and died. We've lost our intestinal fortitude. I know this is a family show, so I'll be careful. And so we're trying to call attention to this. I can't believe in 60 days... we have given away our country. I mean, if we started back to normal today, it will be a couple of years at least until we get back to where we were.
Sure.
The Democrats have succeeded. They have, you look at the Democrats' enforcement of this nonsense versus the Republicans. There's a marked difference. The Democrats are intent on punishing America. They're intent on making you hate life, arrest you for shooting baskets, playing t-ball with your daughter, forced inoculations, hold you down, you know, basically suffocating you. You should see the video, Paul. And then why are they doing this? Because they would wreck America to get Trump unelected.
Right.
And get the first dementia presidential candidate in office. So the little secret cabal in the back room can really run the show.
That's really what they want. And, of course, you're talking about Joe Biden, who, it looks like he's going to be their candidate. And, of course, it's getting worse and going downhill for Joe Biden in his health. he really speaks incoherently most of the time. And they're trying to put him out there on video. It's almost like a joke. I mean, you know, Dave, you and I, we publish YouTubes and things like that. We know how this whole production business goes. What in the world are they doing putting these out? You know, you don't have to put these things out that make them look so stumbling and bumbling. I mean, you know the process of upload and all the things that we have to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so why are they doing this when they know they're putting out a product where it makes them look like a fool?
Well, because Biden included, but the other candidates are a half a step above the county dog catcher.
That's right.
They don't have anyone they can get elected. This is why we have the coronavirus. This is why we have draconian enforcement. I mean, tell me how Brazil and Sweden and now Austria can return to normal and have the same death curve we do. Mr. Dr. Fauci, who is in the vaccine business with Bill Gates, moonlighting while he gets paid with my federal tax money, which is totally illegal, totally a conflict of interest. And Burks, same thing. They're a bunch of criminals in the CDC. You know, we should call them the Center for Disease Creation.
Yeah, that's really what they've come down to. And, of course, they've foisted this whole thing along with the World Health Organization and Tedros Adhanom. Who's a criminal himself. I mean, he's a communist criminal. Millions have died under him. And, you know, of course, we'll look at the chaos they've wreaked because they are the so-called globalist cabal out there. And it's not getting any better. It's going to have to stop real soon. I think it's going to stop. I really agree with Sheriff Mack. He's put out a deadline, and I think he's a good man to do that. We had him out for the Liberty Tour years ago talking about the same thing. It was when the Bundy situation at the Bundy Ranch. We had Clive and Bundy out at the same time. And it was interesting that Sheriff Mack, which I think is Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Association. I think that's what it
is. Yes, it is.
Anyway,
yes.
He spoke very clearly about sheriff's constitutional rights. And now there's a lot of sheriffs that are finally scratching their head going, wait a minute, we shouldn't be following these health initiatives out there, the direction from health, whatever they call themselves. We have a bi-county health person. And it comes from these regional organizations. It doesn't come from city councils or county supervisors. It's coming from regional programs of unelected bureaucrats telling us what to do. That's even worse in terms of taking away your constitutional rights. It's an egregious act, but we're allowing it to happen. I'm not, but everybody else is. You know, one of the things that was interesting are one of our representatives from McAllen-Harris County the other night was saying that people are practicing, really amazed at how people have rolled over to practice the social distancing, so much so that she pulled up to a four-way stop. And she noticed that all the cars that were stopped at the four-way stop were at least 6 feet apart from one another. How insane is this?
The planes in the sky are flying 6 feet apart.
No, yeah, they're formation flying six feet apart. Yeah.
Well, the Blue Angels can't even do that.
No, I know. I've done that formation flying before. It's pretty hairy stuff. But, I was a passenger. That's even worse to be a passenger. And they made me put on a parachute. Go figure. A parachute to be there. So, I had that little thrill of my life. I don't think I want to have it again. You're flying just wingtip to wingtip, but in a jet. It wasn't a jet. It was propeller-driven planes. Which
was this a commercial for wearing adult diapers or something? I mean, why would you do such a thing that would just, read between the lines of what I'm saying?
I know. But, you got to do some things once in your life, and I've done it once in my life. One of the things that's happened, of course, is the price of gas has gone down. Now, I want to kind of set you up for this one. The price of gas has gone down, which means that the tax revenue to the state of California has plummeted because they rely so much on taxes, and they're not getting those taxes. The state of California has put out a request by way of Gavin Newsom, who's going out in enlisting the help of the communist Chinese to make as many as 200 million masks per month. He and a consortium that includes Governor Cuomo and Pritzker from Illinois, the three states in the worst financial condition, of course, mismanaged to the max, corruption all over the place. They've come together as a consortium of states to buy masks now from the communist Chinese. What are your thoughts on that?
This is so bizarre. I don't even know that I can express an opinion. I think it's just prima facie evidence that the communist Chinese are in control of the democratic leadership.
Right.
That's what I would say.
And, of course, the relationship with Nancy Pelosi.
Well, she's in the cartel wing. You know, we know the Communist Chinese Army controls the cartels, and we know her relationship. I published a photo. I think I mentioned this before, but published a photo of her and Nieto and Beto O'Rourke,
right,
who's in favor of legalization of all drugs. And this is after President Nieto left office, and we know that Chapo Guzman gave him $100 million to look the other way for drug trafficking. And why is Nancy with him? Probably the same reason she wants totally open borders. Get the spoons, baby. Get the mirrors. And also, here comes the fentanyl. Hide your kids.
Right.
That's Nancy Pelosi.
Right. She's clearly in the bag for that. Clearly.
Well, okay. Let's just call her who she is. Nancy D'Alessandro. That's right. How we should start referring to her. D'Alessandro. And what's her claim to fame? Daddy was in the black nobility. And no, that's not a racist comment, folks. That's the name of a secret society tied to the mafia.
Yep. And that is a problem. It's still a problem. Of course, look at the power and control that a little tiny strip of land in California has had on this country. Just take a look at the, it's just, to me, it's absolutely mind-boggling where we're at with all this.
Yeah,
in terms of what has gone on with the control that San Francisco, which, by the way, is in this county of San Francisco, and the county is the entire city, I might add. But San Francisco has given us Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, just to mention a few. It is amazing.
That's what happens when your toilets back up in unison. when we look at Nancy Pelosi, this is where the president is missing the boat. He needs to enact a campaign ad. I caught her on a replay of Channel 5 in the Bay Area, and this is at the end of February, the very time that Adam Schiff says the president was negligent in his duties and we're going to open up a 9/11 style committee investigation on him, prelude to another impeachment, of course. And Nancy Pelosi, in that same time frame, was interviewed, and as best as she could articulate, given the fact she had Pelosi's palsy, she said, come to Chinatown. Come in big groups. People aren't coming now. Come large groups. It's all safe here. End of February, she was saying this.
Wow. And, you know, again, we're just not connecting the dots. And, of course, you know, she's looking like she might have the coronavirus herself. I saw her yesterday in a clip that came from Rachel Maddow, and I've never seen her as so sickly and gaunt and, you know, she's not holding up well anyway, but it was really, she just didn't look all that great. And I was wondering if she's going to, you know, she said that she will not take a coronavirus test.
Yes, that's what I was telling you about last night when we talked on the phone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that little rumor that was out there that she might get it, I think she's got it. But she just, I mean, what an interview that must have been. Rachel Maddow and Pelosi's palsy. What a pair on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to watch those two work out together. And, of course, Gavin Newsom was on there, and he was talking about how he's pulled this little plan together. You know, the guy is running away from the fact that there is no money in the state of California. It's all going to catch up to him, and we've pretty much, you know, figured this out, that right now he's on the real short string, for survival as a politician, but also, you know, he's got so many, I guess you'd say, things in the back burner for him that are so corrupt. It's all going to catch up to him. There's no question about it. I know that when Mike Huckabee was out here, he actually had a conversation with him about a number of things. And I think that's what, it kind of rattled him at first, I know, because we could tell by the people, and, you know, we have people that actually do talk to New California people. That are close to the governor, we'll just tell you that. And we know how rattled he was following that, but he seems to have picked up the step. And again, he's alluding to the fact that he's working with a lot of nonprofits now that are taking and putting in money into a certain program. I'm not going to mention it, a certain nonprofit program that he has now working with the other governors. It's interesting how he'd rather do that than work with the federal government. And again, it's because California does not have even remotely the numbers of people that he said were going to be sick with the coronavirus. He was out telling people we need equipment for 25.5 million sick people that will get infected with the virus. And we're going to lose another 2.5 to 3 million people through death, through the disease. And that, of course, isn't even remotely happening in California. And we've got 100 or so died. And we've got, you know, maybe a couple thousand sick. It's not even close.
Well, Frosty Fauci has said that our projections were a little over-exaggerated.
Right.
Yeah, but we still need to keep you in lockdown through 2021 because there'll be a second wave. And, you know, if you don't get out in public and develop some immunity among your people, that second wave will be devastating.
Yeah. And, of course, if you understand even a little bit about virology, there is that possibility, but the numbers are not adding up. There's just no way. And, plus, the other thing, too, and I know, Dave, you got a lot of citizen journalists, and we kind of live off of the citizen journalists in a lot of ways. We're very, very appreciative of the work they're doing. But, you know, when this whole thing came up about the numbers of people not in the hospitals, and all of a sudden, you know, people said, wait a minute, let's take our videos and start videotaping all these hospital parking lots. And guess what? People were finding out there's nobody in the hospitals. No one. It's up and down California. The hospitals, a lot of them are having to lay off people. They're closing up because there's no patients. No coronavirus patients. They're not there. So talk about wildly miscalculating this. Now we've got to bring back the economy, and we've got this battle, this struggle with people in their minds where they think that they have lost their constitution or they've given up their constitutional rights. You don't lose them. You give them up. You know, and because they're not going to church, they're following these edicts, which are not constitutional, which are not binding, their recommendations. To me, it's just amazing how quickly people give it up. But then the police forces get onto it. Ah, this is, you know, we have dictators, many Hitlers running around in some places. Like in Riverside County, they have a sheriff now who said, well, we do have this and we do have that, and you will be arrested. And he's being really nice about it. But this is not martial law, he says.
Yeah.
This is not a dictatorship.
A rose by a rose.
Right.
You know, saying goes. But this is, I'm going to actually take a tour of the Phoenix hospitals in the next few days. Unannounced, of course. I don't want them waiting for me. But I am going to take a tour because the Army Corps of Engineers recently came to Phoenix. And our local independent TV station, Channel 3, walked the floor of State Farm Stadium, seating 70,000 people. Large, large facility. A lot of ancillary room there, too, outside of football. And they could house untold numbers of people. They've opened the old closed St. Luke's Hospital. And I'm thinking, man, they must just be overflowing. They're going to have this many people, and they got to use a stadium, and, you know, going on and on and on. And yet, nowhere in the country, other than maybe a couple hospitals in New York, can you find any overcrowdedness. But I'll give you what I do know. I had a conversation with a doctor in New York. I had a conversation with people on the West Coast, nurse and doctor, and the conversations went like this. If the patient who dies has not died from a gunshot or a car accident or stage 4 chemo that's failed, list the cause of death as coronavirus. In fact, I'll go to Baton Rouge to emphasize the point. Mother's on the operating table. She's dire, not going to survive. They extract her fetus, 22 weeks premature, not going to survive, no way. Right. Cause of death, coronavirus.
Right.
And then one last example, the Connecticut governor. Okay, there we go. There's a piece of trash that needs to be recalled. He goes on the media and says, this poor boy, mentions him by name, the family by name. He died of the coronavirus. That's why we need to have all these restrictions. And the parents are on the media in an hour saying, he's lying. He died of an accident at home.
Yeah.
There we go. This is what we're facing.
Well, and, you know, the in Gateway Pundit, it says the completely fraudulent COVID-19 fatality timeline from 40 million to 2 million to 200,000 to 81,000 to 60,000 deaths.
That's a bad progression. Flu season. We have shut the country down, wrecked our economy. Actually, it's stealing an election is the purpose.
Right.
And we've done that for something that's the bad flu. You know, and then I'll give you another thing, Paul. You know, I've, and not to toot my horn, I'm just saying this is in my wheelhouse. I taught research, long time, stats, long time. And the research, I actually would teach research class to people doing their master's thesis at a university. And I did that for 4.5 years. And so this is in my wheelhouse. Fossey and two of his cohorts wrote a study for the New England Journal of Medicine on March 26th. So I thought, well, I'll just go up there and take a look at it. And I have to tell you, and I'll just make this analysis brief, if he would have tried that in my class, he wouldn't have got out of the midterm exam. It was so bad. So I proceeded to explain in layman's terms to people, this is what's wrong with what he's saying from a technical standpoint. I mean, just research protocols, you know, the double blind and so forth and so on. And I went through all this and I'm thinking, here, this guy's the head of what? And he's speaking for the president. And then here's the other thing this clown is doing too. He's out there in public And the president says, chloroquine, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to do. And he, Fauci, is saying, no, it could be dangerous. There's no studies, bull crap. It was approved in the 60s. But he's tied into vaccines with Bill Gates.
Right. It all comes to that.
So this guy is allowed to criticize the commander-in-chief in public, Paul, no less, and then give this fake science in multiple places, and he still has his job.
Yep. Something wrong with the picture. And quite frankly, I'm going to go down this. Again, this is the timeline information to kind of overlay on what you're saying here with the statistics and false statistics in the reality check. And again, we'd love to sit there and slap everybody on the back and said our reaction to it was I thought the president's first reaction, shut down airlines coming in from China, was appropriate. Absolutely. It certainly has helped us, I think, on the West Coast, certainly California, which gets the brunt of all the people coming in from China. That was shut down really well. And, of course, we've benefited by that because you don't have nearly what they thought they were going to get. But this is the timeline that they have. On March 16th, British experts at Imperial College warned of 40 million global coronavirus deaths if the West did not act to shut down society. That was on March 16th. Prediction included 1 million to 2 million deaths in the United States. On March 29th, the experts predicted their estimates to 100,000 to 200,000 deaths in the United States. April 5th, the IHME experts again dropped their estimates to 81,000. On Wednesday, April 8th, they dropped their estimates again to 60,000. Let's see. Now, they've gone from 2 million to 60,000 in less than a month. I don't think that's because of our reaction to it. I think that their original estimates were a bald-faced lie.
Well, they got us where they want us now, so they can start giving more realistic numbers because they also know they're being outed. So they're being outed by medical personnel. There's a doctor out of St. Louis, and I don't know his name. And I watched a 25-minute YouTube video, and he sounded like you and me, just with some medical jargon mixed in. So, I mean, the worm has turned. Are turning in the medical community. But the prevailing belief is, Dave, don't use my name because they'll come after me. They'll fire me, try to take my license. So there's still that element out there. And this, we're conducting science like it's the Middle Ages.
Right, exactly. And you know, listen, I used to teach, you know, science and biology and so on. And that was the big struggle in the Middle Ages, was science versus religion. And it still is now. They've actually wrapped religion and science together, and it's become more of a religion than pure science. As you know, there's a fundamental difference there. And they've lost the war of really pure and true science to a religious aspect. It called itself the sustainability business of Agenda 21.
You know, let me tell you what I did when I used to teach Sociology 101. And we'd invariably get to environmentalism and climate change. And so, you know, I didn't want to be, you know, hey, here's what I believe and you got to parrot me. I would have the students engage in research and I would give them questions, but I'd ask them all a question before we started. How many of you think climate change and the fact that we're not good stewards of our environment is threatening humanity's existence? And about 80, 90% of the hands would go up depending on the class. So then I'd give them questions like, CO2 production on the planet coming from man. And if we shut off all energy, for example, how much could we mitigate the CO2 damage? And here's what they came back with, class after class, year after year, with no tampering from their professor who knew this was bullcrap. They'd come back with between 3 and 4% on the lower end of 3% usually of CO2 coming from man. And if we did 100% mitigation by stopping our contribution, we could mitigate this by about 0.1%, because it's nature that's in charge of this, volcanic eruptions and so forth, solar radiation, and things that we have no control over. And then I asked him at the end, and then I showed him, by the way, some Agenda 21 things like stack and pack cities, the small apartments, micro apartments and stuff, and you know, what was it, charging you by the mile to drive. And I said, how many of you are willing to make these kind of sacrifices? And usually less than 10% of the students would raise their hand. Yeah, it's really, it's just, the transformation was incredible. So one time, one of the scientific colleagues I had turned me in. Ooh, here comes the East German police, the truth finders. So I had to ask this question. I said, are you propagandizing your students with your political beliefs? I said, I don't know. I kind of act and speak the same way, but here's what I did on this unit, and I showed them the outline. They go, oh, that's just inquiry-driven. Yeah. So what am I guilty of? Leading students to their own self-discovery?
Yeah, that's the thing that they don't understand.
See, that's the environment that professors teach in now. And if you're in a state-sponsored university right now, like if you're at Arizona State and you say anything, I mean, the most unfounded climate change theory could be promoted with no scientific proof whatsoever, and you're going to get called on it big time.
And that's exactly what they do in out here in California. You know, you have to be a certain pedigree of professor to be here that only touts, you know, the leftist agenda. And that's it. That's just it. And, of course, what could possibly go wrong? Well, you had your former governor who was used to be was it, charge of she was under Obama.
Oh, yeah, Napolitano and DHS.
Yeah, now. DHS, that's it. She was DHS after being Arizona. By the way, she's the one who brought up the whole thing about Common Core. She was the genesis person about that. So she comes to University of California. She's finally gone. But, you know, she's a crook. And what could possibly go wrong? She had her chief auditor, who turned out to be a deserter from the Air Force. And it's kind of interesting. His name was Howard Hughes, and from the Hughes family, by the way, out of Seattle, Washington. But he was a captain in the Air Force, and, you know, he deserted in the 80s during the Reagan administration, and they finally caught up with him. He's still in the brig at Travis Air Force Base right now as we speak. But his specialty was understanding, and he left, where is it, the place in New Mexico there. I'll think of it in a second, Sandia Labs. He was doing experiments on how to detonate missiles in the air if something goes wrong. And so since he deserted at that point, there were dozens of missiles that were French-related and even our own that detonated mysteriously. But he understood the whole command and control things. He was actually implicated in the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion. People don't know that, but this is who this character is.
Are you serious? He was involved with the O-rings?
With the detonation. They say it was really a detonation, not the O-rings. And I knew this because I was living in the high desert area there by Edwards Air Force Base. And, of course, all their people were technicians associated with the program. And they were shaking their heads. It's no O-ring. That was a deliberate detonation. That was back. That's another conspiracy theory, but, you know, when you want to do a cut, death by a thousand cuts, it might be something to look at.
What would have been the motive to do something like that?
Well, you know, he's a deep state player.
Yeah, but why would the deep state
Operation
be opposed
Paperclip,
to the space shuttle?
That sort of thing. You know, one of the things we learned with Operation Paperclip is that you still had, you know, these Nazis were very loyal to the Third Reich and to the Fourth Reich that they were establishing, and they knew that to do any kind of destruction to even their own work would be a plus for the One World Order.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you a question. Is this where we issue the public warning for the people in the Central Valley?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, go ahead. Your discovery.
Well,
your
for those of you that aren't aware of what's going on up here in the Orville Dam situation, it's now gotten to a critical phase. The water has reached the gates, if you will, the spillway, and there's so much phreatic movement of water underneath the hillside that the spillway is built on. And as you know, they rebuilt the spillway in 2017. They tried to use it 2 years ago, actually. And as it turned out, they couldn't use it. And the reason is they tried it. They used it for several days, but they realized that it was an out-of-control spillway. And it was breaking up. And when they stopped the little test, it was really shown that the plates had shifted dramatically, that there was a lot of damage to the under the subterranean water system that they used to drain excess water from underneath the spillway so you don't get a lot of vibrations when the water comes cascading over the deck. And, well, now they're back at it. They tried to repair it. The repairs have been unsuccessful. And this is something that is now, they've walked away from the project. They say the work is done. But now we have water that's reached the high level again up to the gates as of yesterday, 8:13 mark, and it's now rising up to 8:14. So the water is putting pressure on the hillside that's been damaged because of use of explosives. The explosives were used to, get rid of the old spillway to bring in the new. And, of course, when they did that, they fractured the rock underneath the spillway. So it's not competent rock that the spillway is settling on, and it's leaking like a sieve at this point. The water is actually seeping up through the deck of the spillway all over the place. It's terrible looking. We did put up some pictures yesterday. We went out to the dam, took a bunch of pictures, and it's pretty obvious that there is a serious problem. It's so serious that we think that given these political times that there may be some option to actually bring the dam down finally, which is exactly what the plan, starting with Arnold Schwarzenegger and his administration, with Jerry Brown, and, of course, all through the Brown administration, they made attempts to bring down the dam and other dams around California in particular. And this is something that's been a concern and is still a concern, and I think we are best advised at this point in time to tell people that are in the area of the Oroville Dam to stay on watch. They've come up with plans, they say, to exit people and evacuate people. The public does not know what those plans are. How convenient. They are not made public. They're only made public or made access to by law enforcement and emergency services. But you, John Q. Public, the 2 million people who live in the shadow of the Oroville Dam right now are in absolute danger. And you might want to figure out what your exit pattern is going to be able to move on a moment's notice and get out of Dodge when you need to. We're just now entering into the high point of when water is going to start reaching its maximum at the dam, and maximum pressure put upon incompetent soil will almost always lead to a dam rupture. And remember, this is a soil, this is an earthen dam by rock, mostly on the dam side, but the earthen area that's damaged so badly is where the spillway is. So if the spillway goes, based upon the pressures that we're seeing right now, then it's going to be a disaster of unmitigated proportions. It'll take out the Central Valley growing area, one of the largest rice-producing areas of the world. It'll have famine effect on the world. And, of course, it'll disrupt everything in the United States of America because look at the economy that'll be wiped out in California. Transportation, everything will be wiped out from the West Coast.
But if people wait until there's a problem, all you're going to get is gridlock.
Right.
They need to leave. They need to leave now.
They need to be taking it serious because in this game that they're playing, we've seen them try and take the Trump administration down on at least three occasions. They've now got this whole worldwide fake pandemic out there. These are the same cast of characters that are in charge of the Oroville Dam. What could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah, but if I were there, I'd be leaving now.
Yeah. Well, my recommendation is make plans and get out of Dodge.
This is, I'll put on my tinfoil hat here, okay? The virus is being used as a political weapon against Trump, and now you have a doomsday weapon coming forth. Because, you know, if the economy's not bad enough, this is kind of like an atomic bomb on top of an atomic bomb. The economy has collapsed. The airline said it'll take them 2 years to recover if they started today. And I think that's optimistic. And now you have the Oroville Dam, which would cause famines through the United States and actually around the world. And retail would totally stop because, 60% of the retail crosses I-15, if I remember my figures right?
That's correct.
And so, you know, you basically have a nation-ending economic event. Then we've documented for 4 years now, Paul, we've documented for 4 years how this is not an accident. And it's not like we're waking up today and making this up and saying we're taking a catastrophe that's natural and embellishing it. No, we've talked about this for 4 years. And now they're using it as a doomsday weapon. And I'm going to make the allegation right here, a doomsday weapon. And if they really had the public's concern in mind, that would have evacuated the whole area.
Right. And they would be upfront and honest about the condition of the dam, which they never did. And, of course, it was interesting. I sued the Department of Water Resources over this to try and get them to stop some of their practices. We had to stop the lawsuit because we lacked the funds to carry it forward. But what we did with it was quite interesting. They picked up most of the things that we had listed in the dam as problems and were actually trying to fix the problems. This is a $2 billion fix. It started out to be a $300 million project, went quickly to $1 billion, $1.2 billion, and then with all the fixes and trying to get it right, they put in another $800 million. So you're at $2 billion right now, and they never will get it right because they've destroyed the soil, the rock base, if you will, that the whole spillway system sits on. And there is their dilemma. And you're welcome. Everybody's welcome to go see the pictures that we took yesterday on Agenda 21 Radio and see for yourself. The water is leaking like a sieve on the plates underneath the spillway. That's not good. That's not supposed to happen. There is a drainage system that's supposed to work. And it's obvious the drainage system, which is underneath, because water does naturally come up on the soil underneath the spillway, and it dissipates through a drainage system. It's a sophisticated drainage system. But in the trials, when they ran the spillway the first time and the only time, the system did not work. It was clogged up with fines, or called fines, fine silt that they'd never gotten rid of. How could they? They'd have to, in order to make it right, they'd have to tear up the entire spillway and redo it. And they chose not to do that. They chose the other way, spent another $800 million on something that wasn't going to work. And, of course, the original problem, Dave, it's still the original problem, is that they've never figured out how the water was getting underneath the spillway to begin with. And Scott Cahill, a noted dam expert, and Dr. B., all we're saying the same thing is you've got to fix that problem before you fix anything else. And they never fixed that. It would have been a very inexpensive fix by comparison. Maybe about half a billion dollars at the most for the whole thing. At the most to fix it right. But now we have a system that's very dangerous, out of control. They have no control over it. They basically cleaned it up and made it look like it's fixed. And now we have the first real pressure on it since they fixed it, and it's leaking dangerously like a sieve.
Wow.
And they never fixed the gates. That's the other thing. They never fixed those. So you've got a double whammy going on. Listen, tell us how we can get a hold of you. Listen to your programming because we're running out of time.
TheCommonSenseShow.com, the website. Same name for YouTube. KYH Radio, we run the archives on our website. And, of course, Red State Talk Radio, where you're at, and Global Star Radio Network, KYH. So that's it. Also, we're on Megaphone, Spotify, iTunes for our podcast. And I'll just say this real quick with regard to the dam. This is deliberate. It's deliberate negligence. And this is our doomsday weapon that will bring in the UN for humanitarian aid. Read between the lines, people.
Yep. That's what they're trying to do. Listen, Dave, thanks for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio.
My pleasure, Paul. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Okay, Dave Hodges here with us on Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to run for time here. I want to thank everybody for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And, of course, stay strong. I mean, that's really what we have to do here. Stay strong. Do not give up your constitutional rights. Meet with one another. Go and meet. Get out and about. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We are sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.